We'll be talking wrestling at 10 p.m., whatever that means, next week.
WildTalkRadio.com.
Welcome, everyone, to Monday Night Raw.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
So, what do you guys want to talk about?
Featuring Sir Rockin'.
If you're the man, what the Rock is cooking.
And Lindsay Ward.
Rest in peace.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
And if you're not down with that, we got 2 words for ya!
Because we believe in doing what is best for all of you.
Because after all, what's best for all of you is what's best for business.
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
This is Monday Night Raw!
And during the few moments that we have left, we want to talk right down to earth in a language that everybody here can easily understand.
The final messages are being sent as we go home to Bad Blood this Saturday, live on Peacock and the WWE Network. Yeah, I was thinking, is it still the WWE Network? I think it is still a little bit more into WWE Network. But it's the road to Bad Blood this Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. Check your local listings for time availability in your time zone. But this was the go-home to that show. This is the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. Chat, if you have Amazon Prime, link it to your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Support Channel by clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen. You can also use credit card Rogasak or Lindsay Ward in the Fortnite item shop when you write Deadpool Wolverine. They're going away. The Incredibles. And many other collaborations that are out there. And more to come, including apparently a big giant basketball player. And not the one that got blame robbed, sadly. Anyway.
He was young, too.
He was. So wag those fingers for Dikembe. But this is the Raw Post Show. I'm the producer. That's Lindsay Ward.
It's been an interesting night in the world of professional wrestling. We had the go home for Bad Blood, which we'll be talking about on Thursday, by the way. Yes. But yeah, this was a fun show. Rob has had like a weekend.
He had a day. He had two today.
He had a day, but he also had a weekend. Like, he got freaking Maggie Smith.
And a singer, too.
Chris Christopherson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he got a bunch.
And Pete Rose. Yeah, like...
It's been a day, that is for sure.
Which, before we move on, I just want to say this. If the MLB freaking puts Pete Rose into the Hall of Fame posthumously, there should be hell to pay for that. Like, y'all could have done it while he was alive. You had every opportunity to do it while he was alive. But if they do it now posthumously, that's going to be, like, such a dick move on their part.
I mean... baseball. Anyway, let's talk about things that happened on this show of Monday Night Raw. It was Rey Mysterio taking on Xavier Woods, with Xavier Woods getting the win, and he kind of sort of was trying to pull Rey's, he pulled Rey's mask off and got the win. Woods was like, you know, backstage, like, I didn't mean to, I wasn't trying to do it, it just happened. And then Kofi was like, you know, instead of congratulating, kind of was questioning him, and then brought up how Jey Uso wants to defend the Intercontinental Championship against Kofi next week. And then Woods was like, yeah, yeah, you get another title shot, yeah, 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 cool, whatever. But no, Kofi's like, no, I actually told him that you should get the shot, and next week on Raw, you will get the shot at the Intercontinental Championship. So, there was that. Karrion Kross was in the background watching. But also, Xavier Woods wanted to be in the corner for Kofi tonight, and he kind of cost Kofi the match. He grabbed the leg of and then Gable was able to hit the Chaos Theories for the win, and they were in the background later arguing while there was another segment going on. I'm intrigued.
I'm curious to see where this goes. But in terms of Xavier, I do have like some concerns, just because he's in that really awkward spot where he's kind of just becoming a guy, right? Like, he's becoming just sort of generic, and I worry about him because I hope that's not going to be the final transformation. I don't feel like it will be, but there was just something about him tonight, and there's been something about him lately where it's like he's lost that special quality of the character that he's been portraying, because it's in this very weird transition period.
Well, as it should be, because he should be a little bit different, because he's not the happy-go-lucky Xavier Woods, because a lot of things have been going wrong for the group, and he's trying to figure out his inner darkness and struggle with that.
But there's a difference between, there's a difference between like trying to figure all that stuff out and just it not coming across. And I think for me, at least, it's not necessarily coming across. It's just coming, because like I've seen him do that kind of stuff, right? Because he's on Twitch and he's everywhere. And, you know, you see him do like different characters and that kind of thing, because he's into like roleplay and everything. D&D roleplay, by the way. D&D roleplay, not other roleplay. Although he could be, and if he is, more power to him. But like, I've seen him do other stuff, so I know he can act and he's a good actor. It's like, for this, there's just something about it where you're like, I don't know. I think I want more. I want more like oomph in it. Because he's such a, you know, it's like we've had the New Day for 10 years, right?
Yeah.
And Xavier is such a boisterous person. And that's what we're used to seeing. And I guess for me, maybe he's missing a little bit of that, like, bravado that he tends to have.
And maybe that comes back wherever this lands.
And that's what I'm thinking. That's why I say it's like, I'm intrigued, but it's like, for right now, it's just what he's doing. It's not resonating with me. It's not like, oh, this is cool, this is different, this is good. It's just like, oh, it's just he's just kind of a guy right now.
At least he's a guy and on TV and not being used, which is what this is very
true.
Which was happening for the New Day for a bit.
Yeah, like, I'm happy he's on TV. I'm happy he's getting a shot. Don't get me wrong, and I'm eager to see what the character does. But it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, okay, all right, let's see where this goes. And I hope Kofi doesn't turn on Xavier LeMans. Like, I hope it's not Kofi, because that would be weird. I feel like it might be the other way around. Like, if you're gonna turn Xavier heel, which I feel like is where they're going, Xavier needs to be the one betraying for it to make sense. Because if you have Kofi turn on Xavier, then Kofi's the heel, which would be an interesting twist.
It would, but I don't think that's where it's going.
No, I think it's Xavier that's going to be the fine. Embrace his inner darkness, as it were.
So sticking with the Karrion Kross stuff, Miz was talking backstage, I believe it was with Braun Strowman, and R-Truth shows up after being hit with the 5 tsunamis, and Truth like, I don't remember that. And then Truth basically said, I got us a match against the AIP, but it was AOP, the Authors of Pain. So it was Miz and R-Truth taking on the Authors of Pain. AOP got the win. Miz walked out. So Miz turn? Where's Karrion Kross just in his ear?
Could be one. Could be the other.
Mm-hmm. Could be both.
I don't know. Like, in terms of Miz, right? Like, Miz is their all-purpose, he can do everything guy. But from whenever he's doing a character, I always feel like he does a heel just a little bit better, because his personality is just that much more cocky, right?
Yeah.
Like, it's just that much more, you know, he does have that bravado and boisterousness no matter what he does. But when he's a heel, oh man, you just want to punch him in the face. So like, heel Miz, I think it's time for him to go back, because it's been a minute. It's been a minute since we've had heel Miz. I think the last time he did it was when Maurice came back that last time and they were talking about his balls. So I feel like it's time for him to maybe become heel Miz again and just be a dick, because
I know. Yeah, he turned, but But is it the Miz coming, the heel Miz coming out, or is Kerry's influence is more the thing? What I was going for. Anyway, Monday Night Raw opened up with the Intercontinental Champion, Jey Uso. He had a son with him. He did the celebration through the crowd. It was his first championship. He celebrated. He called his mama, told him about it. Bron Breakker came out. He wasn't there to crash the party or spoil the fun. He was there for respect for the championship and said the lineage that goes a long way back. Breakker said that after battling Jey last week, he has the same amount of respect for him. Breakker said Jey was a better man last Monday, and he wouldn't spear Jey or attack him. He said he felt he should be the first person to come out as a competitor and congratulate Jey. He offered a handshake. Jey accepted. Jey put him over a little bit, smiled. They left. A little bit of respect shown.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
I'm cool with the respect and the thing, and they're hyping Jey up, man. They're pushing him out there.
They are. Zoe Stark defeated Lyra Valkyria. We had interference from the rest of the PFC. Katana and Kaden returned after being taken out with injuries and challenged the girls to a 6-woman tag at some point, and they're also coming back for the tag team titles.
We have more competition.
They argued with Alba and Isla as well. Also, Damage Control challenged Bianca and Jade for another tag team title match. So that should be fun down the road.
I want to know, in terms of like their pre-packaged promos, I guess I'll call them, mm-hmm. where it's not them doing necessarily the interview, like the standard interview backstage where you just have them cutting a promo in front of the camera. I want to know who's responsible. Is that Borash that's doing all this?
I would assume it's Borash.
Because like they've stepped up their game in terms of like how they're doing those. Like the Damage Control one was really well done. It was really well shot. They did some cool angles with it. The lighting was neat. Like they looked badass. They made them look like $1 million.
They did.
And I want to know who is responsible for these, because they deserve a raise. Like, damn, they've stepped up their promo game tremendously, or at least like their production cinematography. Like I'm going to say it. The best thing that ever happened was Kevin Dunn leaving. Anyway, moving on.
We had Gunther in the ring. There was an interview with Sammy, and he basically is going to prove a point. Gunther came out. He's tired of Sammy being annoyed. Sammy came right out. He said, if you're going to talk about me, I might as well just do it here right now. Want me to stop being annoying, then put the title on the line. Zayn said Gunther won't do it, and they both know why. Zayn told Gunther to admit why he won't do it. Gunther said Zayn isn't on his level. Zayn asked him a question, why he beat him at WrestleMania. Zayn said Gunther thinks he's better than him, and that's what drives him crazy. And he accused Gunther of being afraid of that happening again. He said he is afraid, but it's not Sammy. Gunther said he's afraid for his reputation. He said losing to a better man wouldn't have been a problem, but losing the Intercontinental and Zayn was the biggest embarrassment of his career. He said he also flew his family in for WrestleMania, but he didn't parade them around like Sammy did. He had to look his father in the eye afterwards. Gunther said his father came all the way from Vienna to Philly just to see him lose to a bum in Sami Zayn. He said his family expects everything from him, but that because he's the golden goose and he's special. Gunther said he's something Zayn will never be, the world heavyweight champion. Zayn said his family has watched him lose, but he picks himself up and keeps on moving forward. Zayn said Gunther crumbled when he lost in front of his family. He disappeared from TV. He didn't even ask for a rematch. Zayn said it was all because Gunther's father made him feel like a loser. Zayn said Gunther was showing him now that he's just also a coward. Gunther then attacked Sammy with a clothesline, gave him a few kicks, took off a jacket, started beating him down, hit a suplex. But because Sammy got out of it, Sammy hit the exploder, went for the huluva, got caught in the sleeper, got powerbombed. And then Gunther says, you have your match. Good stuff.
This was really good. This was a great, great setup. And a, you know, nice little period at the end of the storyline where now we're getting the setup for the match.
Which they did announce will be next week on Monday Night Raw. As they were announcing it, I know, shocker. Bron Breakker and Gunther had an exchange as well. That was good.
I'm down for Bron and Gunther. That will just be physical. That's the only way I can describe it. It will just be physical.
But yeah, Sammy Gunther, as I said last night on WTR, gonna happen. It'll happen tomorrow, next Monday on the first 2-hour episode of Raw over a decade.
It's gonna be so weird.
It really is gonna be
it's
weird.
Gonna be so weird.
Let's talk about it. It was CM Punk and Drew McIntyre face-to-face, basically inside Hell in a Cell. We had all the security around ringside. One was dressed in black. That was Drew, and CM Punk was dressed in white. It's time for the final words. McIntyre said he wore black out of respect for Punk's wife because she will need to feed and bathe Punk and probably leave him after Hell in a Cell. McIntyre said Punk wouldn't come back this time. He said he could talk all day if Punk didn't want to speak. McIntyre took issue with people chanting for CM Punk. McIntyre said Punk taught him how to hate. McIntyre said it's a powerful weapon if you use it correctly, but it's dangerous if it stays with you long term. McIntyre says the hate will die with Punk at Bad Blood. Punk said people have called him the best in the world, the Second City Saint, the voice of the voiceless. He said he was voiceless tonight because nothing to say to a piece of garbage like Drew McIntyre. He said he's filled with so much rage that he can't go home. He's been living in a hotel for 4 weeks because he can't subject his wife to the man McIntyre turned him into. Punk said McIntyre turned him into the boogeyman that his harshest critics made him out to be, and that's who he needs to be to send McIntyre back to Scotland in a box. Punk said he wants McIntyre to remember that he prayed for all this when they are locked in Hell in a Cell, and Punk has taken everything from him. Punk said McIntyre will crawl and beg, and then he will see. Once he wipes the blood from his eyes, Punk says it's not a God or the devil that McIntyre will pray to, but he'll be praying to CM Punk, and he would see him in hell. Good final exchange.
One, I like that they had the cell there and they did the entire thing in the cell. The Beast Stuff security was really good. I liked all of that. My only complaint about this entire thing was Punk in all white. And I get it. I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to do the hero and the villain, where Drew's the villain, he's in all black. Punk's like the hero, the underdog, in all white. But it's exactly that. Like, I don't view Punk as a hero. I don't view him as like the underdog in this at all. So like the visual of him in all white just took me out of it for like a split second. Like a split second where I'm like, why is he in all white? Because normally I'm used to him being in the jeans. Like the visual, it worked. It absolutely worked. But just for me, it's like, why are you wearing all white? No. No, honey. No. No. And if everybody, you should not be in all white. Just because we are also familiar with Punk's past. But that's a personal thing for me. But I think the visual overall, the promo overall, this was again a nice capstone to this feud where we're getting this final match between the two where they're going to try to kill each other, hypothetically, in fiction. And we're going to go from there. But yeah, this is great.
It was Dominic Mysterio, JD McDonagh, and Carlito taking on Dragon Lee, Joaquin Wild, and Cruz del Toro. Solid match between the pairings. Finn Bálor, who was not there at the beginning, showed up, helped the team to the win. They hugged. They came back from break. Bálor said he heard Damian Priest state last week that he intended to rip his heart out. Bálor said he doesn't have a heart. He will prove that at Judgment Day. Never needed Damian Priest. Liv Morgan said she'll prove that she's the home-wrecking, man-stealing, heartbreaking, title-taking, greatest women's champion of all time. This brought out Rhea. Rhea said she was with Dom for a long time and knows all his dirty secrets. They brought out the shark cage. Rhea said Dom would have the best seat in the house to watch his girlfriend realize that she is just not good as her. And as this all was happening, you heard the crowd erupt, and Damian Priest showed up from behind. The fight ensued. Rhea got involved. Everything like that. Continued to brawl. Everyone was going crazy. But the end, the Judgment Day once again stood tall.
They like faked me out on this so hard because this, and they did a good job with it, because the way that they did this, especially with that final shot of them standing tall, that was like, I sat here for a minute and I was like, wait, are we getting ready to go on the air? Is that it? Is that the end of Raw? Like, that's what it felt like. It felt like that natural 2-hour conclusion, especially where they put it in the show. It's like, oh crap, are we getting ready to go on? Like, I had to go check Rock's Twitter just to make sure that like this wasn't the first week of two hours, because I was like, no, it's three. It's got to be three. He would have told me if we were doing two. Like, he would have reminded me. This is my subtle, you need to remind me next week. Mm-hmm. But like, I was sitting here, I was like, it felt like that natural conclusion to the show. Because the other thing that they did was they showed like the Bad Blood graphic down in the bottom of the screen. Like, they kind of, I don't know why they kind of faked you out with it, but they, like, for me, they kind of faked us
they
out.
Faked,
but yeah,
the same. They faked you. I think it faked.
Yeah. They faked me. I get faked out on the winter's crap. But it was still very good. Like, I thought this was, again, there were a lot of very good conclusions and capstones to stories where they're like, okay, all right, we built to this point, we built to this point, we built to this point, we're here. here we go. We're going to do the shark cage between Rhea and Liv. We're going to have Judgment Day stand tall over the Terror Twins. This is going to be great. You know, you have that moment.
We had a Wyatt 6 video sending messages.
It was interesting because people were saying that Alexa Bliss was in it. And I paused it where they said to pause it. There's definitely somebody in it. But I can't tell if it's Alexa or if it's what's her bucket down in NXT.
You're trying to make Wendy Chu happen.
No, it's not Wendy Chu. No, it's not her.
Tatum Paxley?
Yeah, Tatum. I think it might have been Tatum.
Okay. Also, next week, Sheamus challenge Peter Dune to a good old-fashioned Donnybrook.
They're going to beat the tar out of each other, and it's going to be great.
Your main event was last Monster Standing, Braun Strowman, Bronson Reed. Hell of a just brawl. Chokeslam through tables. We had chair steps. We had Braun Strowman diving down on Bronson and security, which was the cover to break the ring. Because security just was laying at different parts of the ring. Imagine that. And then they were fighting, and then they got it back in the ring. We did the superplex to break the ring. Both men down, slowly getting up. And then out of nowhere, a stomp to big Bronson Reed's head as Seth freaking Rollins returned to Monday Night Raw, leaving him laying.
So Seth is back after his adventures in the NFL. He's here to, you know, wreak havoc after the 16 tsunamis or whatever it was he took. He had a nice little vacation.
Mm-hmm.
All of this was super good. Like, all of this was fantastic. The visual, the ring breaking, even though you called it and you could see it.
You could see it. Like, they were, like, once they came out, all the security came out. It's like you could see, you know, that was the cue for the ring crew to adjust the ring a little bit, which is what mm-hmm. they did. And you could tell they avoided wrestling in the ring a lot. It was just worked their way around it. And then the angle they were showing, you could see it was already tilting up a little bit, like with the camera. You saw it angled a little where it was already coming up, which is fine. But yeah, it was a nice return for Seth. And yeah, good stuff as always for Raw. Good ending.
I like this. I thought it was good. I thought it was appropriate. Everything, and it worked. God bless the security dudes that caught Braun, because damn, that was a lot of people required. But yeah, I thought everything about this was good. It was a solid ending to Raw. It sent it home to the pay-per-view, which is what it needed, the PLE, which is what it needed. I don't really have a lot of complaints about the show.
As the internet begins to drop frames, this has been the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Stream's dead, but we're here. We're going to be live this Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of The Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We will have news. We will have notes. We will have bad blood. We're going to be talking all about the PLE and making picks on who we think is going to win and who we think is going to lose. It is The Rack, Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on wildtalkradio.com.
Friday night, GM Battles, 10 p.m. Eastern. Saturday night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, is CB Radio Live. Monday, Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio. Bad Blood Review. We'll be back next Monday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, for another edition of Wild Talk Show. It's at Wild Talk Radio. It's facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Chat if you have Amazon Prime Link, your Twitch account. It's called Prime Gaming Sports Channel. By clicking the purple rectangular button below the screen, you can use creator code Rock and Sock or
Lin's M Ward
in the Fortnite item server, Epic Games Store. Why?
Because we are hashtag Epic Partners. All right. You can follow me on most of the social medias at Lin's Ward, LNSWD. You can check me out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Lin's Ward. You can follow me on YouTube, youtube.com/@SimbleLin'sWard. And you can follow me on TikTok, Lin's Ward Zero.
This has been the Raw Post Show, presented as always by MBG Films, youtube.com/MBG1211. We'll see you Thursday for the Rack and right back here, 10 p.m. Eastern, for the Raw Post Show. Along the airways of the Wild Talk Radio Network. Smiling face on the old TV.
WildTalkRadio.com.